All right, let's open our Bibles up to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Where were you? Yes, if you need a Bible, raise your hand good and high. One will be handed to you. Oh, you were. Didn't even see you there. We are in Luke chapter 8. I'm going to take a break from Revelation and take a look at a message for fathers this morning. Certainly will be for all of us in this room because we know the Word of God always speaks to us. And so we just pray that God's Word would go forth, penetrate our hearts, and that we would leave this place transformed, as we always do. Luke chapter 8, let us bow our heads once again, ask God to bless this time in His Word. Heavenly Father, we never want to take Your Word for granted. We thank You that it is timeless. We thank You that it is eternal. And that it speaks truth to us. I pray, God, as we study the Word this morning, that the Scriptures would come alive to us. That as dads and as husbands and as leaders, this message would penetrate each and every heart. That not one guy or not one man, not one person in this place would leave not feeling fulfilled and satisfied as You speak to them. I pray that You would equip us, Lord, to not only hear the Word, but as James says, be doers of Your Word. So as we look at this story, I pray that You would speak clearly to each and every one of us, that You would touch our lives, God, and that we would not stay the same, that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds. As we are here for You, have Your way in this place, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. A little boy said, Father's Day is just like Mother's Day. Only you spend a lot less on the gift. It's true, right? We're men, right? We don't need a lot. Mother's Day, we did it up for Mother's Day, didn't we? We made sure we honored those mothers. For guys, we're there, right? We just want to be appreciated. We just want to be loved on. And so what I want to do this morning is certainly talk to the fathers, certainly be talking to the men in this room. And the young men, the men that want to be dads, the ones that want to grow up and have a family, get married, but also to the women in this room, to understand the role of a father, to understand the role of a dad. You need to understand. Sometimes it's very confusing. Men and women, we're hard to understand each other. You know, I've heard from many women before, I just don't understand my husband. And from men, I just don't understand my wife. Right, guys? We just don't understand. And so I want to share a few things, maybe to enlighten some of the ladies in this room. This is from the Men's Thesaurus, kind of help you guys out a little bit. When a man says, it would take too long to explain, what he really means is, I have no idea how it works. When a man says, that's interesting, dear, he means, are you still talking? See, some of you guys already understand these things. When a man says, can I help with dinner? What he really means is dinner ready yet? And then one of my favorites, the last one. When a man says, that's not what I meant. What he really means is, if something I said can be interpreted two ways, and one of the ways makes you sad or angry, I meant the other one. The reality of men, right? We're trying to figure this thing out. We're trying to understand this thing called life. The father in our text is somebody who understands the weight of fatherhood, who understands the burden of raising children, caring for kids. If you're here today and you have children, you understand this burden. You understand your heart. You want the best for your children. You want the best for your kids. Any parent who has ever seeing a child under immediate pain or discomfort or hurt, you know the heart. You know how much that burdens you because you want to help your children. And as we see this story, we have a story of a father whose daughter is so sick she's near to death. And this father has a heart to get his daughter's help from Jesus. And we're all going to be able to identify with that. So in Luke chapter 8, I just want to read it. We're picking up in verse 40 of Luke chapter 8. And we're going to read from verse 40 through the end of the chapter. We will skip verses 43 through 48 because Jesus is actually there. An old woman with an infirmity touches the hem of his garment and is healed, but that's not part of the story we're looking at today. Verse 40. So it was, when Jesus returned, that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Skip down to verse 49. We pick up the story again. While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well." When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat, and her parents were astonished. But he charged them to tell no one what had happened. And a very amazing story, a very interesting story. As we look at this story in greater detail, we'll see some amazing things that this father does. Three things that this father does to get his daughter help. And these are three things that show a father's love, a father's love. And that's kind of the theme of my message. It's a father's love, the love that we have for our children. I would imagine each and every dad in this place, probably every parent in this place, would do anything in their power to help their children. Anything in their power. No matter what it would take, no matter what it is that you think that couldn't happen or might be consequences from it, you would do anything for your kids. You'd give your own life for your children. That's the love of a parent. And this father had a love. Jairus had a love for his daughter. So this story is really just a story about a father and a daughter. And we don't know her name. All we know is her age. And she's in some type of a condition, some type of sickness that her father knows she's near death. So this isn't just a cold. This is something that's probably a cancer, probably something that's very severe in those days. And they've experienced if this child doesn't get some help soon, she's going to die. So the father knew that. And the three things I want to talk to you this morning about, number one, is the importance of a father that goes to Jesus, that seeks Jesus. If you're taking notes, a father seeks Jesus. And that's what we see this father do in verse 41. There came a man named Jairus. He comes to Jesus. Now, the interesting thing here, the Bible tells us he's the ruler of the synagogue. Now listen to this. This is what makes this so important because God's word is so powerful. He's the ruler of a synagogue. He's probably a Pharisee. And if you know anything about the Pharisees in the time of Jesus, the Pharisees couldn't stand Jesus. The Pharisees want to kill Jesus. And the ruler of the synagogue, you know what his job was? His job was to lead worship inside the temple. Inside the synagogue. So it was his job to lead the worship, to pick the person that would read the scripture, to pick the person that would give the message. He was involved in the worship of God's house. But this man did not like Jesus. The Pharisees wanted to kill Jesus, but yet in his prejudice, he set that aside and he sought after Jesus. A father's love will seek after Jesus. Guys, husbands, dads, fathers, you need to make sure that you are constantly seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. That you are looking for Jesus to fill you with his spirit. That you're looking for Jesus to speak to your life because it's him that can transform your life. Him that can do amazing work in your family. As this man was a Pharisee, he didn't care. He was going to go to Jesus. Now, I find that interesting. especially when they didn't like Jesus. They were trying to kill Jesus. They were trying to catch him in some type of lie so that they could kill him. But this Pharisee says, my daughter is sick. And to me, what does he do? He looks around and he goes, I've heard some stories, haven't I? I've heard some stories of how Jesus has done miracles. I've heard stories of how Jesus has raised the dead. I believe that this Pharisee had such a need in his family that he put his own status, his own prejudice aside, and he said, I'm going to go after Jesus because I think he's the only one that can help me. Do you have that kind of faith in Jesus, men? That Jesus is your only answer to your problems? That Jesus is the only way to bring healing into your life? Are you seeking after him on a daily basis? See, this man was desperate, right? And when you get to the point of being desperate, man, that's when you really press into Jesus. That's when you really seek after the Lord. This man was seeking Jesus. It goes to show us that it doesn't matter how important we are, what kind of position we have. Sometimes when rubber hits the road, we're just human beings that are trying to survive, right? And whenever you have hurt in your life, whenever there's difficulties in your life, you need to find yourselves on your knees seeking after Christ. No matter what's going on, to believe that Jesus can make a difference. Jairus had a belief. He believed that Jesus could make the difference. He believed in a miracle. Do you need a miracle in your life? Do you need a miracle today? Do you need Jesus to do something so powerful in your life because there's no other way? There are people that I'm praying for today. It's amazing to me over the last few weeks, the power of prayer and the ability that we've had as a church to pray for people and see God work. And even right now, there's someone in our fellowship that is up against some amazing odds that unless Jesus does something, man, this is the only answer. Man's way can't fix it, only God. And we need to believe that God can do that. We need to believe that Jesus Christ can raise up the dead. And if your kids are sick, and if your kids are in a bad way, and if your kids are not walking with the Lord, what you need is Jesus, right? You need Jesus to do an amazing work, and you need to seek after him, and you need to hear from him, and you ask him, Lord, show me what to do. Show me how to believe, even in the midst of it. You know, the internet can be a great place, but it can also be a very bad place. Because we get on the internet and we search out things to try to educate ourselves on different situations in our lives. But man, I remember when I was doing some research on some things for my pets, trying to figure out what it is this my dog, the disease had. The more I read, the more discouraged I got. Every once in a while, I'd read a good post, I'd be a little encouraged, but then I'd be discouraged again. It's like, so the internet can be good, but it also can be very bad when we get educated on the odds. The internet has nothing to Jesus. Jesus doesn't work with odds. Jesus can raise the dead, and that's what we're seeing in this story. That's the belief that Jairus had, that my daughter is dying of an incurable disease, probably, and I'm going to believe that Jesus can heal her. Do you believe this morning that Jesus can change your situation? I have to constantly remind myself that no matter the odds, God can overrule it. God can overrule it. So don't listen to the world. Don't listen to the ways of the world or the diagnosis of the world. You look to Jesus and you seek after him. Believe in the miracles. Because that's what this man did. He heard the stories. Now, Matthew says something interesting in his gospel. And actually, Matthew 9:18, we'll put it overhead, I believe. Is it there? Yes. Matthew, accounting the same thing in chapter 9 of his gospel, says this. It starts out, says it even stronger. It says, while he spoke these things to them, this is Jesus speaking to the crowd, behold, a ruler came, and look at, and worshiped him. That's powerful. Not only did Jairus come to Jesus and say, hey, I need some help, he came to him and he worshiped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hands on her and she will live. He worshiped Jesus, and he believed that Jesus could make a difference. I think some of us today need to just realize and believe that Jesus can make a difference. Maybe that's what you're here for this morning, this Father's Day, to be reminded in your life that it's not just the humdrum of life and that you just got to, it's just the way life is. No, you got to believe that Jesus can lay hands on you, can lay hands on your family, can lay hands on your situation and change your circumstances. Amen? Do you believe that? Do you believe he can? Have you seen him do it? I've seen him do it in my life several times. And it's a beautiful thing to witness. It doesn't always happen our way. It doesn't always work out the way we want. But we must start by believing. We must start by worshiping Christ and believing that he can. And that's what this man did. He came and he said, I have faith in you, Jesus, that if you just come and you lay hands on her. Because Matthew says she was already dead. So he knew. Guys, listen to me. Our job as seeking Jesus is so very important because we are the spiritual leaders of our home. Your position in your house is so vital that God looks to you as the one responsible for everything that happens inside your home. You realize that? Whether you believe it or not, you're the spiritual leader of your home. You're supposed to be leading your family, and you're either leading your family towards God or you're leading your family away from God. Which is it this morning? Are you leading your family to Christ? You know, it's interesting in Ephesians chapter 6, as Paul is writing to the church about roles in the family, how he talks about husbands, love your wives, right? Wives, submit to your husbands, respect your husbands. He goes on and talks about children, honoring their parents. And then what does he do? In verse 4, Ephesians 6, 4, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Do you see this verse? And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Why is it in our society we see moms doing more of this than anything else? Why do we see, you know, school teachers, raising kids, teaching kids. Why does Paul address the fathers and say, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but raise them up in the Lord? Do you know why? Because we're the leaders. And where the father goes, the rest of the family goes. The statistics of the father going to church and the family following are so much greater if the father is leading. If he's not leading, chances are kids will walk away from the Lord. So here we see Paul addressing this issue. Fathers, raise up your children. Be a good example to your kids. I'm not saying be perfect. There's no such thing. But I'm saying be a good example. And why is it so important that the fathers are leading their kids? Listen. If you have a son, he's looking to you to learn what kind of godly man he needs to be when he gets older. If you have a daughter, she's looking to you to see what kind of godly man am I going to seek after in the world so that I know I'm being cared for. Do you understand the importance of the role of the father? And God knew this. And we need to make sure that we are training up men in our day to day to be spiritual leaders in their homes. That's what the Bible teaches us. Paul is addressing the head of the home. And we need to be those leaders. Raise up, and guys, listen, it's a very amazing task. It's a daunting task to make sure we're raising up our kids in the Lord. But you know what I love? I know several men in our fellowship that have young kids, and today they are praying for the salvation of their kids. They're praying that they would be good fathers to teach their kids. They're praying that God would keep his hand upon their children. That is a wonderful aspect of being a father, is just praying for your children. Blessing them. I know you parents want the best for your kids, but man, lay hands on them and pray God's presence in his life, in their life. Pray that the Lord will be there with them. That is such a wonderful quality, is to be praying for them. As Jairus comes to Jesus, as he's seeking the Lord for an answer, right? Then we hear this, then we have this little pause in the situation where this woman comes with a flow of blood, touches the hem of garment. As that's happening, Jairus gets some news that his daughter's dead. Is that not devastating news? Here he is coming to Jesus, seeking help, trying to get the help that he needs, and all of a sudden he gets the news that she's dead. There's people in this room that have heard that devastating news before. No parent should ever have to hear that their child is dead. I can remember the day when I found out, when I was there, when my brother passed away. And man, it hit me. I knew he was dying, but man, it hit me. And then I had to sit there and watch my parents and their pain and their sorrow, seeing their son, their youngest son, pass away. There is no pain like that. And I think of Jairus as he's going after Jesus to try and get help and to hear the news, she's already dead. What would normally happen in our hearts? Nothing more we can do, right? I mean, wouldn't you think that? Nothing more we can do? Sometimes we get to that place in our lives with our walk with God. It's like there's nothing more we can do. Guys, we know the rest of the story. Jesus raises him from the dead, raises her from the dead. And as he gets this news, what does Jesus say? If we go back and look at verse 40, let's see. Look at verse 49 again. While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." Isn't it funny how the world tells us how to respond to God? Don't trouble the teacher. Don't go to Christ. Maybe you've got friends like that. Listen, man, give that dream up. Look what Jesus says in verse 50. But when Jesus heard it, he answered and said, "Do not be afraid, only believe." What Jesus is saying to Jairus is, "Jairus, you sought after me. You had faith that I could cure your daughter." And he's saying, keep on believing that. Keep on having hope in that. No matter what you're going through, Dad, keep on having hope in Christ. Never give up. God isn't done until God says it's done, right? It's not done until God says it's done. And here, this man hears this, Jairus, only believe. Keep on believing. So not only does he have to seek him, the next thing, the second thing, and again in verse 41, it says, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet," and notice this, "and begged him to come to his house." In verse 51, we see, "When he," Jesus, "came into the house, he permitted no one to go in." So Jesus actually does go to the house. The second thing I want us to see, not only do we seek Jesus, we need to invite him into our homes. Dads, invite Jesus into the home. It's great that you carry your Bible to church, but are you opening your Bible at home? It's great that maybe you pray at church and your kids see that. That's wonderful. But are you praying at home? It's great that you do spiritual things in the house of God, and that's wonderful. But are you doing it Monday through Saturday all the time? Are you showing your kids a relationship with Christ that you have? A relationship with God. It's so very important because they're not just going to catch it. They're not going to just get it on their own. They're going to witness it in your life. And I know men that love Jesus so much. They love his word so much that they teach it to their kids. They read it to their kids. They're constantly pouring it over their children. And you just see a difference in those type of children because they know the Lord. The greatest responsibility for a parent is to raise up their children in the Lord and make sure that they have a relationship with them. And the only way to do that is by leading by example. Notice it says, Jairus begged Jesus to come to his house. There were multitudes of people there thronging, it says, on Jesus. All those needs that were there for Jesus. And this man says, "I'm going to beg you, Jesus, please come to my house." I hope this morning that you're thinking about begging Jesus to come into your house. Begging Jesus to be involved and be in the center of your home. It's great that you pray for dinner. But are you praying also at other times? I hope your prayer life is not just, "Thank you, God, for this food. Bless it to my body." I hope you're praying, "God, help me to lead my children. Help me to be an example in my neighborhood. Help me to be that one that my kids come to." He begged them to come to his house. We need Jesus in our houses, amen? We need Jesus in a mighty way. We need him in our country, certainly, but it's only going to start if he comes into our homes. Maybe you got a picture of Jesus on the wall. That's great. I grew up with a picture of Jesus on my wall. But you know what? I never knew him. We never prayed for meals growing up. I had a picture of Jesus. I was so sad when I heard they got rid of that picture of Jesus. My mom and dad got rid of it. It's like, I would love to have that photo. But a photo isn't enough. Kids need to see us in the Word of God. Kids need to see us on our knees. Listen to me, parents. Kids need to see you dealing with situations in life. You need to teach them when you have an argument, when you have to make a decision. Let them be a part of that. Yes, I understand. If you're going to have what my wife and I call a drop-down, drag-out fight, do that in the privacy of your bedroom. But help them understand that life isn't always great and we got to work through things. Bringing Jesus into the home. I hope you're doing that. I hope you're doing that every single day. Because God, our Father, showed us how much he loved us by sending his son to die for us so that we could have a relationship with him. And we need to teach our kids to have a relationship with God. And where that's going to happen is in the home. We can reinforce it here in children's ministry, but guys, we only have them for 45 minutes. We only have your kids for 45 minutes a week. What is that? 3 hours a month? How many hours do you have them at home? And be involved. Be there for your kids. I know the tendency for guys is to work, 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 and bring home the money so we can provide. And that's great. But you got to make sure you're there for your kids as well. Make sure you're present there as well. You know the story in Exodus when God instituted the Passover, right? The 10th plague of Egypt. He's going through and he was killing all the firstborn children, right? The angel of death coming through. And what did God say? What did Moses tell? God said, put blood over the lintels of your home. And the angel of death will pass by. Who do you think's responsibility it was to put the blood on the lintels of the home? The father, the leader, the patriarch. Put the blood of Jesus over the lintel and the angel of death will pass by. It's no different today. We're dads, we're responsible for making sure the blood of Jesus is poured over our homes, protecting us from the angel of death. Because the enemy wants to come into your house and destroy your children. And how does he do that? Through television, through computers. Where is it? Through these things anymore? I mean, we know young kids have these now, right? Total access to everything in the world are sitting in their hands. If that's not the angel of death that's available to them. And so as parents, as dads, you got to make sure you're monitoring that stuff. Making sure that the computer isn't just stuck off in the corner in a private room. Making sure it's out in the open so you can see what your kids are looking at. So that there's times where, hey, guys, no phones. How many of us have been to a restaurant where we see a whole family, everybody has a phone. They're not even talking to each other. I doubt they're texting each other. That'd just be weird. Like, if we're going to be spiritual leaders, we're going to make sure that the blood of Christ is covering it, and we're going to be watching what's happening. Because listen to this statement. I love this statement. Let me see if I can find it first. Is it Martin Luther? Look at this. Martin Luther said this: you can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you can certainly stop them from building a nest in your hair. You can't stop the enemy from trying to attack you, but you sure can stop him from making a nest in your house. You can set up a border. You can set up a boundary and making sure that he is not allowed. Because what? Where Christ dwells, no darkness dwells. So is he dwelling in your home? Are you seeking Jesus? Are you inviting him in your house? The last and final thing, look with me down here at verse 50 again. And when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, do not be afraid, only believe. Seek Jesus, invite him in your home, and then display faith in Christ. That's what Jesus is telling Jairus. Don't lose faith. You believe that I could heal him, heal your daughter? Now believe that I can raise her from the dead. Now believe. Only believe. Guys, we got to make sure that our faith is being lived out loud with our kids. Be real with them. Show them the struggles. Show them the difficulties. But let them know you're trusting in Christ. We need to remind each other that we only need to believe in our midst, in our storms of our life, when it's like, oh, it's too hard. I want to give up. We need to show our kids that we are believing and trusting in Jesus. When you get bad news, when you get discouraging news, when this man got discouraging news, Jesus spoke and said, you just keep your eyes on me. You just keep believing in me. I want to encourage us all that no matter what bad news you may be getting, no matter what difficulties you may be going through, or maybe you know about, maybe it's not, maybe everything's going great for you, but maybe you know somebody who's going through a storm right now. It's our job to help remind them to just keep believing in Jesus. It's not over till it's over. It's not done until Jesus says it's done. We need to keep on believing. The best example that you could give your children is a legacy of a father who kept on believing in Jesus Christ. Do your kids know that you have a relationship with him? Do your kids see your faith being displayed? I think it's important. I think it's important. Kids spell love, T-I-M-E. Kids spell love, T-I-M-E. They just want to have time with you. Are you spending time with your kids? Are you involved in their lives, going to their games, going to being a part of what's going on, letting them see how much you are loving and trusting in Jesus? I hope so. I hope they see it in you, and I hope it's an amazing thing that they witness. I want to close with this. A father said this. I think the quote's there, isn't it? Yep. 100 years from now, it will not matter what my bank account was, what sort of house I lived in, or what kind of car I drove, but the world may be different because I was important to the life of a child. Wow. Certainly that goes for dads, that we need to pour into our kids, but doesn't it go for all of us? That we would really make a difference in the life of one child. That's all we have to do. And I pray that we do that. I pray the father's heart and the father's love is that they're seeking Jesus, they're inviting him in his home, and then they're displaying their faith and they're spending time with their kids. Let us ask God to use us in this day that we live where there's so many other distractions, so many other things pulling your kids away, that in the home, it's a safe place where Jesus dwells and where faith is displayed. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you so much for your eternal love for us. And we pray, God, that every single one of us, as we look at the story of this dad that was so desperate, that though all of his other friends, all of his other acquaintances hated Jesus and probably himself involved, once his daughter was sick to the point of death, he set aside his prejudice, he set aside his pride, he sought after Jesus. I pray for not only the dads in this place, not only the husbands, but also all of us, Lord, that we would never let anything hinder us from coming to you. I pray for each and every person in this room, God, that no matter what the world throws at us, no matter what life gives to us, that we would simply believe that you can change our circumstances, that you can change our situations. God, I pray healing over this church. I pray for the brokenhearted in this place that are down and discouraged right now and they just see no hope. God, I pray that you would be their hope today, that you would increase their faith to believe that you haven't left them. You're right there in the midst of what's going on. I pray over the bodies in this room, Lord, that are struggling with sickness, with cancer, with death. Let us believe that we serve a God that raises the dead. That nothing is dead, Lord, until you say. That all of us will live, Lord, forever, that put our faith and trust in you. So I pray healing over us, God. I pray for the marriages in here, Lord, that are struggling. I pray that those that are finding themselves in a season of despair in their relationship with their spouse, God, that that would change right now in Jesus' name. That your love would fill them, that they would have a love for each other, I pray for the families in this place, God, that you would just bless them. Keep them safe. Let them be an example in our community. And then ultimately, God, I pray that you would bless each and every father in this prayer, in this room. Bless them, God. Hear their hearts. Honor them. Give them a heart after you. Give them a desire to seek and to invite you and have faith in you every day of their life. So bless them. I pray for the time with their family today that it would just be such a great time, a happy time to be with family. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.